Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Clueless Cast. I'm Zach Halsnack, and I'm joined by Bugs. We're completely clueless, but we're talking about this stuff anyways.
Today, we're going to talk about the new Ford Bronco, Last of Us 2, with no spoilers, Rockstar's new open-world game, next-gen consoles, Origin PC, and birds.
If you haven't already, subscribe on your platform of choice. All the places you can listen to are available on cluelesscast.com, and our social media is there as well, where you can leave feedback and send us topics and more. We're going to start with Moto Madness. This is going to be our car and motorcycle news and discussion. And this week, we're going to be talking about the Ford Bronco, what has been leading up to the launch of it. It's going to happen actually right after we record this, basically. So we may get stuff just completely wrong. We may get stuff right on the nose. I mean, I've looked at a lot of and watched a lot of the leaks occur over the last couple weeks. I think without a doubt, I mean, this isn't even leak based, that Ford is directly taking on Jeep and FCA. The Wrangler has been untouched, you know, in terms of that, like all-wheel drive space, four-wheel drive. What do you think, Bugs? What do you think about the Bronco and what you've seen so far in terms of like images that have leaked and everything?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell because there's been so many 3D renders of the possible new Ford Bronco,
right,
that you get so many different tastes of what people think it's going to end up being, that there's some that I really like and there's some I really don't like. And it's hard to tell because Ford, as of right now, when we're recording this, has only really shown kind of shadowed images of what the Broncos are going to look like. So a lot of the big details that people are kind of fixating on, like the grill and the headlights and stuff like that, really hasn't been shown very much. So I think, you know, it could end up looking great and it could end up looking like Ford's FJ Cruiser. You know, you don't really know until it's out, but I think it's really nice that there's going to be some competition in the off-road market battling against Jeep, because like you said, Jeep's been dominating the off-road market for many years and they really haven't had that much of a competition for a vehicle in that class. So I think Ford kind of wanting to take on Jeep and surpass them in that space, I think is really good. I think it's going to improve Ford, and I think it's also going to improve Jeep in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think Ford not only knows the importance of being in that space and they see that space as an opportunity, but they also are probably trying to get back at FCA for taking a part of F-150 sales.
Yeah, 100%.
With the Ram 1500. Like, and that's the thing too, with them redoing the F-150 and making it way more Ram 1500-esque inside, like upgrading the interior and everything.
Yeah.
It really seems like they've got their sights locked on FCA and its product lineup. And I've said in the past that it feels like Ford's going down a checklist of like literally doing everything identical and then doing a little bit more. So like a good example is, it seems like we're going to get three Broncos. We're going to get a Bronco Sport, which is just based on the Escape, like a smaller one that looks like it's probably more in line with like a Jeep Renegade kind of thing.
Yeah. Like a compact Jeep. Yeah,
exactly. And then we're also going to get a two-wheel drive. Sorry. All of them are actually confirmed to be four-wheel drive. All of them. Like all the time, basically. So we're going to get a two-door and a four-door that are full size, that are probably going to be almost identically sized to Wranglers. So that's what kind of excites me too, because exactly that, there hasn't been anything other than the Wrangler in that space. And if Ford can bring more powertrain options and they can get the drivetrain leak that nobody at Ford has said anything about, but it's been leaked in a lot of different photos, is that we get a 7-speed manual, and that includes 6-speed with a crawler gear.
Wow.
Which will be huge because you don't even have that option on Jeeps. So
yeah.
I think that's really exciting, and exactly what you said, I think that brings competition to Jeep in a good way. I think they will look internally at certain things and just become better. Competition's good for every industry,
100%.
Specifically in the automotive industry and in industries that don't have much competition too. I think it's going to be good for, because there's definitely people that are only going to ever buy Jeeps and only ever going to buy Wranglers. But right. If they see this as like a bad thing, I don't know. It's never a bad thing to have competition. It's never a bad thing to have a big manufacturer come back with Bronco. I mean, think about it. Bronco's been gone for so long too.
Many years. Yeah. And I mean, even if you are a Jeep person and you aren't interested in Fords or interested in the new Bronco, I think in some ways you should still be excited for it, because yeah, competition. When companies don't have competition, they get lazy and they get content with just continuing to produce what they're doing without improving it much, because people still buy their product. So when you have something that you can directly compare to what's already out there, and if it is better, you know, for some people that aren't brand specific or stay with one brand, that could be the decision point to switch to go over to Ford and get a Bronco and get away from the Jeep platform. So, but if you're not that person and you really enjoy the Jeep brand, I still think it's a good thing. As much as you won't be interested in the Ford Bronco, I think that Jeep is going to look at it and go, you know, we need to improve to stay with what Ford is doing. I mean, we see that all the time in the truck market. You know, the F-150s and the Rams and Silverado, they're consistently upping each other, and they're trying to constantly improve to be the top truck in the market. And for off-road vehicles, Jeep needs something, because there really has not been a consistent competitor to them for a long time, pretty much since the last Bronco, really.
Yeah. The only thing out there is Land Rover, and it's just a completely different segment in terms of cost. And it's more luxury driven, of course, too, but it's a completely different segment. And it's also a brand that's not nearly as appreciated as in the States specifically, where Jeep and Wrangler does most of its business.
Yeah.
It's not a direct competitor, and even though people would say it is on the same line, I don't think it's cross shop nearly as many people think. It's funny enough, Consumer Reports a while back released like the thing cross shop most with the Wrangler is a Miata, because convertible is the first thing on their checklist. And then they go down, okay, well, I want something that's fun on the back roads, or I want something that can off road.
Right. So, I was just thinking that the comparison between Land Rover and Jeep, you don't see Land Rovers drive around with their doors off.
Exactly.
So as much as it, you know, they're Land Rover, sure, they do have their off-road packages, but yeah, price point is a huge thing. How much you're going to actually pay for something like that? You want the luxury, you're going to buy a Land Rover if you can afford that. But most people, if they want to go off-road and not break the bank, they're going to go to Jeep, and there's no competitor to that price point for them. There's nothing that you can pull the doors off, pull the roof off, you know, customize
exactly.
And do
and
all
the customization.
This stuff.
Exactly. The customization, because there's people that buy base Wranglers and then make them exactly what they want. I think we're going to see the exact same thing with the Bronco. People will buy base 100%. Broncos and configure them exactly how they want. I mean, it's just consistent with this market. And from all signs point to removable doors, removable tops,
yes,
soft tops, everything being on the Bronco too. And that's going to be killer. Like, that's going to be the killer feature if it literally does the same things that the Wrangler does.
Yeah.
And you have people that are already brand loyal to Ford, the opposite, you know, goes to Ford too. There's obviously people brand loyal to Ford.
Yep.
So you have people that never even considered a Wrangler before and go, oh, Bronco, Ford. I love Ford. I'm going to trade in my F-150 or my SUV that's already off-road capable. Or not even off-road capable, as much as the Bronco could be, we're going to get a Bronco.
It's very possible that could be the case. It's just going to be interesting to see what the response from the off-road community is going to be
very
towards
much so.
It. And also the testing, too. Like, when it actually comes out and people start getting their hands on it and putting the head-to-head comparisons, because that's what everybody
does. I can't wait to see them.
Yeah, like
how, I cannot wait to see them.
How's the Bronco going to compare to Jeep's latest offering? You know, like an unbiased head to head is going to be very interesting to see. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me as well. Do we move on to press start?
Yes. Yes, we should. We should talk about The Last of Us 2, because I know you've played it. I've been playing it. We're going to do no spoilers here. So if you haven't played it, if you're excited to play it, we're not going to be giving anything away. We're just going to be kind of talking about like our initial impressions or what we found to kind of stand out from the game. Zach, I know you've already finished The Last of Us 2. And I'm about halfway through. I've been trying to chip away at it. Very long game. But my initial impressions of The Last of Us 2 was there hasn't been a game that's really thrown me like into the world as much as The Last of Us 2 has. When you play it, it feels like you are in that world and you have all these same emotions that you do in real life when you're playing this game, and that's hard to do. There's not many companies that can really draw your emotions out as much as I feel like The Last of Us 2 has done, in terms of like, you know, going from an outside area to an inside area where it's dark and it's dusty and it's cluttered. It's like you get that little bit of a freak out moment of, I don't know if I want to do this. And you don't have that detachment of, oh, I'm just playing a video game. It's not that big of a deal. This one really, really just drives you into what you're doing so well. And it's so fluid. It's easy to just kind of like get into that mode. It's not like, it's kind of hard to describe. I think a lot of people would understand if you've played a lot of single player driven story based games. Some games just don't quite drive you. You're not invested. You're playing it and you like the game, but you're just not investing like yourself into it as much as I feel like I have with The Last of Us 2, in terms of like, you know, getting attached to characters or being concerned for my character as I'm playing. Well,
I feel like the first game sets you up for that. I feel like the first game really like makes you fall in love with these characters. Yeah. And it's so well written, and it's so, these are the games that Naughty Dog is Naughty Dog's known for its story and making it a very cinematic, regardless of it being a cutscene. The gameplay itself is extremely cinematic and extremely smooth and just all linked together that you have. I mean, Naughty Dog, not that they were the first to do it, but they were the ones to perfect that camera pan. And you're like, oh, I'm playing now.
Yes.
Like pan around Nathan Drake or pan around Joel, and you're like, oh, yes, I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I didn't realize like the cutscene ended.
Seamless. Exactly. That's how seamless these games are. So I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree with what you're speaking to in terms of the characters, because that's how Naughty Dog writes their characters. They know how to make you fall in love or hate characters.
Yeah, 100%,
they can really write them extremely well. It's just a testament to their writing style and a testament to the performance capture, because Naughty Dog does it different from all the other studios. They do performance capture. They have people on a soundstage that don't only act out the things, but are also recording the audio right there in a lot of cases. And that's a completely different thing to most of the video game industry. And then they also hand animate the in-between. So if something doesn't look as fluid as what it really occurs in real life, they go back and hand animate stuff. That's incredible. The attention to detail is literally next to not. I mean, they're the best. I mean, that's why I would even say that this graphically is the best game that I've ever played. Ever.
Oh, I would agree.
I'm talking, it's not just, you know, on a PlayStation console. It beats, because that's a great example of, you know, what Rockstar pulled off with Red Dead Redemption 2. Lighting plays such a key role in convincing your brain to what you're looking at is real. And I wouldn't even say it's uncanny valley in this game, because nothing ever gave me that like, ooh, I'm creeped out by it. It's just so realistic, like light passing between like your nostrils and as well as ears and all that stuff. Like their lighting is just so good. It's
unreal. It brings the world alive. And that it makes your brain have that quick attachment to like, you are that character now.
Yes.
And when you're doing something, it's like you are doing it. That's why there's been moments where I've been playing The Last of Us 2 and I'll get to a point and I'm like, you know what? it's a little too creepy for me right now. I think I'm going to just put this down, because you just get so invested. You're like, I'm genuinely creeped out. I don't want to continue.
I would say it legitimately at times stressed me out, and not in a, some of it being scary, but like a, just in general, like, oh my God, I'm legitimately stressed out playing this.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say it in a bad way, because
you're just invested. You're as stressed out as you would be if you were in that situation in real life. Like, well, maybe not as much, but
yeah,
you would, you definitely put yourself there, and that's what adds that stress to it. And stress isn't always a bad thing. It's just, it's a big motivator. They really motivate you in that game to get things done and to do what you need to do. Just like that character, you know, the character that you're playing doesn't want to do all the things that they're doing, but they get put in these stressful situations where you have to do it.
Yes.
And it's nice because that transfers from the game to the controller seamlessly. You are also stressed when you're in those situations. And as much as you don't want to do it, you also think that that character that you're playing, if you've, paid attention to what's going on, they probably don't want to be doing that either. And I think that's what's really good, is that's what gives you that connection to that player, that the character, is that you have that kind of apprehension that they also do, and you share an experience. As weird as it sounds, you share an experience with a character in a game, and it's just, there's something about the way they do it. They can transfer that so well to the player actually controlling the character, and it's something that Naughty Dog has always done amazing. And there's a reason that I'm always looking forward to new Naughty Dog games coming out, because they just are amazing.
Naughty Dog and Rockstar are probably the only two studios that can, and I say this in recent memory too, because Red Dead Redemption 2 is probably one of the best story open world games that exists. And this game, it's definitely like up there. Naughty Dog, all of their games are up there in terms of story. And they may not, that's the thing, they may not all be perfect. It's very hard to make a perfect game in terms of like what people like. Like, it's hard to live up to the first Last of Us, because we didn't know what we had in for us. So it's really hard to fill those shoes. And same with Rockstar, when they go and create another game, it's hard to fill those shoes.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Naughty Dog is already on their way, which makes sense, making another single player game for PS5. So there will be a multiplayer mode that comes out for Last of Us Part 2. It did not ship with the single player game at first, but Naughty Dog is still making that. But Naughty Dog is already hiring for their next single player game on PS5. That's no surprise to anybody, but it's also interesting. And it makes me wonder, without spoiling anything with The Last of Us, where does Naughty Dog go from here? Do they go and pull from their back catalog now, which is basically primarily Uncharted and The Last of Us Part 2, and The Last of Us? But, or do they create some new game? I really want there still to be a heavy story from them. I just expect them to be story and cinematic.
Yeah.
But I'm not against them doing something else. They're not going back to Crash Bandicoot. I think Activision and some other, like, there's a new Crash Bandicoot coming, and I think it's produced by Activision, and somebody else is heading it up, because that's what Naughty Dog had back in the day. They had Crash Bandicoot. Unless we get like a cinematic story driven. Well, Crash Bandicoot is story driven, but
I
want to see
Crash Bandicoot see nowadays Crash. With Naughty Dog doing it. That would be the most epic Crash Bandicoot game ever.
I
want to
see a gritty Crash Bandicoot. Please give me a gritty Crash Bandicoot, Naughty Dog.
It'll be
I think it's interesting. What do you think that Naughty Dog is gonna do? Do you think they're gonna do?
It's hard to tell, because Naughty Dog, they've been around for a while, and they definitely like to you know, continue the series that they definitely have going. But we already know that they've stopped the Uncharted series, that they're not going to create any more of those, unfortunately. Well, that they've said, you know.
Right.
The Last of Us is kind of open. It's hard to tell what they're going to do with that. I know it's a very, very popular series for them, but so was the Uncharted. And they decided that, you know, instead of dragging this out and turning it into something that people are going to eventually dislike, which I think a lot of game developers do, where something has a hit and they go, okay, we're just going to crank these out, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, until it gets to the point where they just aren't as invested as they were in the beginning.
And it's hard to up the ante when you have the expectations of the last one on your table. I mean, it's a great example of, can't believe we got to 5 GTAs, even though, you know, 1 and 2 were not, and all the other different ones before 3 were not 3D.
Right.
It's hard to like jump in, because technology you're constantly raising the bar. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, but, you know, I think for them, with the following that they've accumulated over these years, over these past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of doing, you know, Uncharted and The Last of Us and all that, I think a lot of people now do really enjoy those series. But I think for the most part, a lot of people kind of look at Naughty Dog, you know, just them as a company and not so much what they've produced. And they're just, I think a lot of people like myself, I'm just excited for anything that they make. A whole new open world experience game, I'm excited for that. I don't even, if there's no details about it, I know that Naughty Dog's producing it and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, 100%. They could literally put their name on almost anything, and it's very much so like Rockstar. It would probably get me excited if it was like, we're working on a paint drying simulation. I'd be like, man, they're going to figure
that's
out
gonna be the
how
best
to
one ever.
Make a really good story around paint drying simulation. And it's going to be fantastic. All right. And on to the grid. Speaking of kind of Rockstar and Naughty Dog and all these next generation games, which is this likely is going to be, the dev behind LA Noire, the VR case file specifically, Video Games Deluxe, who is an Australian developer, they are working on a new virtual reality project that is a Rockstar AAA open world title. So that's a lot to unpack, right? But yeah, it has me really interested, and I made a whole YouTube video about it. We're not going to go into that much depth about it, but I'm leaning towards, even though it says a new open world project, it really makes me think that we are going to get a GTA 5 VR or a VR add-on or a VR mode in GTA 6 or something of that like. I do not think it's going to be its own thing. I could be completely wrong, though. I'm basing it off of, well, my own speculation and what I've seen, but I would really put it in line with a GTA 5 VR because I think Rockstar's going to get every penny out of GTA 5 that they can.
I would definitely agree with that. And if you go back, like it goes to our experiences too, because I mean, we've played GTA 5 since the release back in 2013. And, you know, from going from the 360 and the PS3 to the PS4 and the Xbox One, you know, we got first person mode.
Yep.
So we did get a new feature for GTA when they released it, of course, you know, enhanced graphics and all that. And it seems like, with the past experience, it kind of seems like that would definitely fall in line. New generation, same game, new feature. And VR GTA is something that I know a lot of people, even now with you know, you have to heavily modify your game to do so,
right?
Are doing and are enjoying. But I think, you know, if they made it something out of the box, seamless from them, especially with the new power of the new, the next gen consoles coming out, it wouldn't be absurd to see that they're just going to do GTA 5 with VR. I don't think that would be absurd.
So Sony confirmed that the PSVR will work with the PS5 out of the box. But I also think we are going to see another PSVR. I don't know what that looks like yet, but I think we're going to, I'm almost positive based on how much Sony invested in PSVR, that there will be a new PSVR headset, yes, what have you. Definitely to take advantage of the PS5. And I also think it's in line with the fact that Sony has a great working relationship with Rockstar. I mean, a great example is they have a good enough working relationship both ways that Rockstar went, yeah, we want to be at that PS5 launch event, you know, just the launch video, but we want to be there, but we don't want to show any PS5 footage. We just want to show GTA 5 in its current state. And we want to say there's going to be a PS5 release of a GTA Online on its own. And that's it. Nobody else could do that. Literally no other company could come out and do that. But it's that working relationship with the two of them. So in that way, I think that the studio also, in regards to relationships, this studio and its relationship with Rockstar in terms of taking L.A. Noire, what was already made, and then converting it into this VR type, you know, game. I think that also is a testament. They've proved themselves to Rockstar that they can do this. And then you already have exactly what you said. You have this first person mode already built in. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not seamless. It's not perfect, but that's exactly what the studio could do.
Right.
It can kind of smooth the edges and make it a fully, you know, controller based VR experience, because dude, that would be, as much as some of it would be throw up 100%. Yes. Definitely. Because I already can imagine being in VR and trying to jump into Zancudo and hurling or flying half the time or you know, falling over and all that stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff that would need to get figured out. But I really believe that it's in line with what that studio can do and what would make sense for exactly what you said, a new feature on the next version of GTA 5 that gets released. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited for when GTA 5 comes to toothbrushes in 2026.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I can't wait to brush my teeth and play GTA at the same time.
I can't wait to get 5 stars on my toothbrush.
But, you know, on the other hand, in terms of, let's say it's not a GTA. Let's say they're going to kind of just get their final release of GTA on the new consoles. If you think about L.A. Noire, you know, they kind of... There was a lot of weirdness with L.A. Noire when it was released, because it was very popular. People loved it. Kind of just fell off. There wasn't really much. And then they came back and they did the VR version of L.A. Noire. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to take that series and kind of pick it back up and bring back kind of another. I don't want to say L.A. Noire specifically, just because, you know, L.A. Noire was designed behind the fact it was, you know, real crimes that you were solving, things that actually happened. Now, they could easily do that anywhere else. It doesn't have to be based in L.A.
Here's a hot take. They actually utilize Agent, which was that Rockstar thing that never existed past I think it was around PS3.
Yeah.
They just showed like an Agent spoiler. Well, not spoiler. Sorry. Teaser, which was just like the Agent logo coming soon.
Right.
And then nobody ever talked about it again. It was never on Rockstar's site. It was just, so we could get that, and that could be way more open-ended in terms of it could be modern, it could be a different time period.
Yeah.
Who knows? So yeah, 100%. It could 100% be a non something we haven't seen before. Rockstar has surprised us a couple times. I mean, I didn't think they were going to do Max Payne 3.
Right.
And then, I mean, it could be VR ping pong, but
table tennis. Rockstar did that table tennis game.
Table tennis. Sorry, yeah.
Table VR tennis. Table tennis.
Open world too. Open world. So you gotta write like San Andreas. You gotta go.
You gotta go buy your rackets.
I think nobody would buy that, but I think it would be great. I mean,
that would be interesting. That would really be interesting. But also to talk about some new things coming out in the future, to kind of take a little step back. I don't know if you remember this game. It was quite some time ago. I'll have to look to actually when it was released. But do you remember the Test Drive Unlimited series?
Yeah, on the... specifically, that was the one on the island, right?
Yeah,
that
came out. It was based off of... I believe so, yeah. It was based off of a island in Hawaii, and it was almost a one-to-one scale. It was released on the 360, the PS2, apparently.
It says Atari Melbourne developed the PS2 and PSP versions, which I didn't even know there was a PlayStation portable version of this game.
Had no clue. It was released for the Xbox 360 in 2006, and then the PS2 and the PSP in 2007. So almost 15 years ago, 13 years ago,
crazy.
They just announced, I think it was like 4 days ago, that they are coming back and making a new Test Drive Unlimited. It's called Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown.
There's not
really, the name is interesting. I'm really wondering what that entails, if that it means anything.
What does Solar Crown mean?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. It kind of sounds like solar powered. Like, I don't really know. But what I do know is that they really haven't announced much about it. But the one thing that they did say is that they are going to keep with the 1-to-1 size of the map.
Cool.
So that was a huge thing back then. And the developer did, there's about a 10-minute long video that they released where they're kind of talking about, you know, some of the things in it. They don't give too much away, but they definitely said that they want to keep with the original style of the Unlimited series and how you could drive around to different car dealerships and own different houses and go, you know, buy clothes and get your hair cut, you know. And also it comes down to the little details too, like Test Drive Unlimited, even though it came out 14 years ago, was one of the only games I can remember where native in the game you had blinkers. You could roll your windows down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You could do all that. And no game since then, I think, has had that. So they definitely said they want to keep with what made that game so popular, which is great. One-to-one map, the attention to detail that they had. And for me, I always loved the fact that you could buy houses. You could put cars in your garage. You could walk around your house and look at your house and your cars in your garage. And just the open worldness of it. Like, Test Drive Unlimited, I played that game a ton when it came out. So the fact that they're revisiting that series with today's modern graphics, I'm super excited. I really, really hope that comes out soon.
Ubisoft, the competitor to The Crew.
That's another thing.
Basically, which is good. And seeing who it's tied to, so KT Racing has made the WRC and the TT Isle of Man games. So they're known for making some good racing, like knowing the dynamics behind actually making cars feel good. So that's exciting too, to see a studio that's competent working on it.
100%. Yeah. They have history making racing games, and I think if they do it right, they could really, really make a great game that people are going to really love. And it it's like you said, it's going to rival The Crew and Ubisoft. It's going to rival Forza, open world games, you know, any open world racing games.
Forza Horizon,
So it's, you know, it kind of falls back to the Bronco thing. Competition does not hurt.
Yep.
Competition just makes everything better for everybody. And if they do this right, I think in many ways, the new Test Drive Unlimited could be a lot better than a lot of these other games that are currently out now for open world racing games. Like The Crew 2 is a great game, but it also falls short in a lot of aspects. And I think if you directly compared even The Crew 2 now back to the old Test Drive Unlimited, I think if it had updated graphics, honestly, I think the old Test Drive Unlimited 2 was better.
There's a lot of, I can't say that 100%, but there are definitely a lot of those examples where you go back and you're like, man, if these had updated graphics,
right,
the controls, and sometimes the just the way that the world works. And yeah, I mean, it's like Burnout Paradise was a great example of unique and very big and very different. And it was good in a lot of ways, you know, and I think it's even been as recently re-released on like the Nintendo Switch, as odd as that is. They re-released that a couple times, I feel like, but that's a great example of, if you updated some of those types of games, man, I would really like to see an actual new Burnout. I know there are like successors to it, but the first Burnout and the second, first and second one are just so, so good. I hold them such high regards, like in the PS2 days.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to move on to the talking tech segment. So we're going to get a little bit away from video games, but we're going to be staying with tech. And we're going to be talking about the new generation of consoles, since we've kind of touched on it already a little bit. We're going to just give our thoughts on it. And for me, my opinion is Sony is dominating this time around. I don't know if you feel the same, but I have seen some things about the Xbox, the new Xbox Series X, but I've seen way more and I've heard way more people talking about the new PlayStation 5. And in my personal experience, I'm much more excited for the new PlayStation 5 than I am for the new Series X, just because besides hardware, it doesn't really seem like much is coming from the Series X, much anything new, really.
Yeah, there's exactly what you said. Hardware-wise, we're getting better overall performance
right
on the Xbox Series X than the PS5. That being said, the PS5 with its SSD technology is really interesting to me. And yes. I mean, Unreal as well. The Unreal Engine 5
right.
Showcase was pretty impressive. Not to say that that's not going to be on the PC as well as PS5 and Xbox Series X, but it was unique to see it running on and specifically stated that it was running on there. I think some of that, so Sony just invested in Epic. They invested like $250 million or something around there, which only gave them like 1.5% of Epic or something, which is crazy because that seems like an insane amount of money. It might have even been more. Tencent, I think it was a few years ago, bought like 40% for around the same amount.
Right.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that's insane. It's insane how much Epic has, mostly because of Fortnite, let's be real.
Yeah,
they 100%. Have just grown in their value. But I think that ties back to why we saw the Unreal Engine showcase and they stated, you know, running on the PlayStation 5. I think it was kind of to do with that. So that's interesting. But yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think people are, you know, right? Like there are, I don't want to use fanboys because I wouldn't even say I'm a Sony fanboy. I just have been in the Sony ecosystem for longer. I have tended to lean towards buying Sony products. I have enjoyed playing on Xbox products. I think the Xbox 360 was a win in the Microsoft column.
Yeah. Unless you're 360 red ringed, then it wasn't so much
of a win. Yes, exactly. in which I had multiple ones. It did.
Yep.
So,
but the Xbox One, I haven't heard anything about it having any issues. So they definitely turned it around. And yes. I think that's something that's kind of interesting to see, because with every new generation release, you can kind of see like who is on top and who isn't. Because when the PlayStation 3 came out, I remember it seemed like Xbox was very much dominating that release, because Sony came out and said that they were going to release the PlayStation 3 for $1,000. You know, and everyone was like, why would I spend $1,000 on a gaming console?
Right.
And I think it's just, you know, it's a give and take. It just depends on how everything's going. And in my opinion, this year, this release with these new consoles, it seems like Sony is just so far ahead that they're like, even if you go to search for news about next gen consoles, you typically get Sony results more than Xbox Series X. There's new hardware, but like you said, with the SSD technology that Sony's going to have, and
they didn't really show games at the Xbox reveal like Sony did. And not that Sony showed a ton of games, they really didn't, but they showed more, and that's all that they needed to do, more and more exclusives. And that's the other thing too. I think that this, aside from even talking about the actual consoles themselves, Microsoft seems to be doing better overall in terms of like, well, they got there first and they actually were a little bit more transparent, it seemed, than Sony. But Sony's there with more games and talking about more exclusives. And a good example is, it still seems like anything that's going to come to Microsoft exclusively is going to come to Microsoft exclusively, meaning you're going to buy it. And if you want it, you can have it on the PC or the Xbox Series X, which is what they kind of already do with a lot of these games. So I personally go, I have a PC capable of running this. Mm-hmm. I would much rather than just choose to play it on the PC and not buy additional hardware.
Exactly. You know, and
Sony's going towards that too, in terms of releasing games, but I don't think they're going to ever be, or at least right now, one-to-one with release anytime soon.
No, they definitely, that's the advantage that Microsoft definitely has, is the seamless transition of, I can purchase a game on my computer in the Microsoft store and I can go downstairs to my Xbox and I can play it, or vice versa. You can, you know, that transition between your PlayStation or your Xbox experience and your PC playing experience are pretty much the same, which is great. But if you also think about it, you know, like you said, Sony's trying to get into that market. I think it's going to take them a long time before they can actually get something like as user friendly. And I use that term loosely for Microsoft Store. But that experience is, for the most part, somewhat user friendly. I mean, you can switch between your console and your PC, but also, like you said, I don't want an Xbox if I can play all the exclusives that I want to play on the Xbox on my PC. And when it comes to the PlayStation, for me, especially when it comes down to the fact of, if you think about PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live, in my personal opinion, PlayStation Plus seems to offer a lot more than Xbox Live does. PlayStation Plus gives you 2 free games every month. Xbox don't think they're doing that.
Right. Well, unless you do Game Pass, which is this whole other thing.
But it's a whole other thing, but PlayStation has their thing too. PlayStation that has their I can't remember what they call it. PlayStation Now, I think it is.
Yeah, the streaming. Well, yeah. You can download some of those too, but yes. Yeah,
so 100%. You can play, you know, any PlayStation game with a monthly subscription, but if you just have PlayStation Plus for just their like online subscription base,
you're still getting free. Yes.
You're getting free games for just, like this month, not to promote anything, but for this month alone, they gave 3 games away. One of them was NBA 2K20, that's a fresh title, still a $60 game, and also Tomb Raider 20th Anniversary Edition. So, you know, that's,
yeah, and they've given away exclusive, and they've given away exclusives in the past too. They've given away some of the Uncharted games and everything. Mm-hmm. I think they gave away the Last of Us.
Yeah, the first one.
Remastered, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Which is smart too. You also get people, that's a unique thing too. Not unique to Sony, but I think is a winning combination of, good example, there's a lot of people that are true, actually, Sony fanboys. Fanboys used literally here, that go, they feel like disgusted with Sony also releasing these games on PCs, saying like, it's not an actual PlayStation exclusive then. Okay, no, it still was. And it's still, technically speaking, is, and the reason I say it still is because if you get it first, and then if you play it on PlayStation for a couple years, before it comes to the other platform, which I know,
it's pretty much an exclusive.
Yeah. And even if it is timed, I mean, we've dealt with timed exclusives in the past in terms of full games, DLC, everything else. And Sony is known also to get a lot of that first, just because of their relationships with these developers. I mean, a good example is, I don't even know if we're going to get a GTA Online only experience on the Xbox Series X at all. It likely will happen.
Right.
But Rockstar hasn't come out and publicly stated that. You want to talk about a win for PS5 is if they are the only ones to, even if it's just for a couple months, to get this GTA Online only mode for free on the PlayStation, people are going to consider literally getting that console over Microsoft's. And there's a couple things that are like that too, in terms of, you know, if you get a game, well, that's the thing too. Sony's story based single player catalog is just so strong. It can't be touched currently. And from what it seems, Microsoft hasn't announced anything that's like, other than Halo and some of these other things that they've had for a long time, nothing is like, wow, they're really bringing the story play in the single player, like focused gameplay. They're still all in on multiplayer, and that's fine. You can have 2 different complete audiences, but I feel like back in the day, more consoles lived together, if that makes sense. Like, we would see a PS2 and an Xbox together, or a PS3 and an Xbox 360. I don't think that's going to happen as much going forward.
Yeah, I think so. Because like you said, with the whole PC integration with Microsoft, that's another thing too, is like, even if there's Microsoft exclusives, you can play those on your PC also. You don't quite need a console unless they're doing a specifically Xbox, you know, specific game, which I don't think they've done that, where you can only get it on the Xbox and you can't get it on the Microsoft store.
Yeah. And not to derail, but to derail really quickly, because I want to get your take on it. 2K announced already, like, what they're intending their pricing for the next NBA game. And it's got a pre-order of $70. So that could set potentially the industry standard. Technically speaking, that's not even fully adjusted for inflation, because we've had the same game prices for 15 years now, about. Which is crazy. We should be thankful in some ways, but also technically inflation hasn't moved with the market in terms of what people are getting paid either. So it's kind of two-sided.
It's a give and take with that, because I mean, we were around when games jumped from $50 to $60. And I remember the outrage that people had when it raised $10. And it, you know, if it goes towards that way of it's going from $60 to $70 for new gen console games, it's, you know, I guess it all depends. If you're going to charge $70, an extra $10 for the base game, like not getting a gold version or anything like that,
right?
There's got to be something to back up that price. There's got to be you have to have a reason to charge people an extra $10 besides the fact of, oh, it's an next gen game.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, well, there's two things I would say to this. To create games now is just so much more expensive. It really is. That being said, though, the company that came out to announce this for their, you know, 8 month or 8 to 10 month released sports game is 2K. They're not struggling in any way. They really don't need. It's mostly just about making more money, which they can do. 2K can do that, you know. Yeah. They can do that with Rockstar too. But my fear is that they're saying $70 for this, and that sets a precedent to go $80 for their bigger games.
Yeah. See, now that becomes an issue.
That's what I'm fearful of. And also, though, to go the other way, Microsoft said pricing needs to be the same if it's a dynamically delivered game that releases on both. So this might be something we kind of like lean into. It might not be upfront that we see these jumps. What I mean by that is, depending on how these studios deal with that whole dynamic delivery system, they might keep pricing the same. Or they might go, okay, well, both versions then are 70. Meaning if you want to buy it for the PS4, you want to buy it for the PS5, it's $70. Or same with the Xboxes. It could be that. But yeah, that is really my fear, because 2K has usually been known to have those annualized sports games be $10 cheaper. So I'm fearful that's what that is getting us kind of like warmed up for. They're cranking the temperature until we feel it, kind of thing.
Well, I get to go off on a little bit of a tangent. In some ways, as much as 2K does make a lot of money, in some ways, I don't want games to be $70, because, I mean, come on, who actually wants to spend more money on games, right? But a complete tangent is, I know 2K is currently trying to go after the NFL contract. So if 2K needs some money to make their NFL competition game that they're trying to make to battle EA for the rights to the NFL, in my opinion, EA does not need the rights to the NFL anymore, because they just don't care about their Madden series, it seems. And they definitely need some competition. So,
well, we've talked exactly about competition being good for everything. And when there's no competition in a segment,
they get lazy.
Specifically with sports games. Oh my God, they get extremely lazy. Everything they do.
Yeah. They're the biggest example of a company taking for granted what they have. They have the NFL contract and they've had it for years. And because they cannot legally have any competition, they can just do whatever they want. And if you don't want, if you don't like it, then you don't buy it and you don't play an NFL game, which I don't agree with at all. There needs to be competition. You know, I'm not saying that 2K should charge people $70 to get the money that they need to produce a game to battle, you know, Madden and EA, but it's just, there needs to be a change with these monopolies of these contracts. No company should own the outright use of something else. It just, it causes bad things to happen. EA and the NFL is a huge example of that. That does not need to happen. But to kind of move on from next-gen consoles, to kind of still talk about gaming, I don't think you've heard about this. Have you heard about Origin PC's Big O? So, Origin PC in 2019 made a kind of a console in a way. So they sent it to Unbox Therapy on YouTube. So what it is it is a PC, a PS4, and an Xbox One and a Switch dock, Nintendo Switch dock, all in one machine.
I'm looking at this right now.
Yeah, they did this. They sent it to Unbox Therapy. He made a video of it unboxing. They weren't actually planning on selling this thing, but it got people so excited and got so much attention that they actually announced that they're going to release it. And I think they actually legitimately sell this year. They said 2020, they're going to sell the Origin PC Big O. I believe you can buy it. Yeah.
Yep, you can customize and it. Yep.
Origin PC, I believe, also has the two other sub-brands where if you want to get a PC and a PS4 combo in one case, you can do that. Or if you want to get a PC and an Xbox One combo, you can do that as well. I wanted to talk about this because, one, I think that's awesome. The fact that they incorporated all of the gaming types into one box.
Box, yeah.
Is 100%. Incredible. Is incredible because you could, if you had the money, you could buy this one box, put this in your living room, and you could play anything, which is amazing. Now, I'm wondering, with PC technology, I don't want to say slowing down, but we can only get so much better from here. We've gotten to the point now where like CPUs and GPUs, they're cranking out crazy amounts of power. We're not really, we can't really go too much further in the PC world. But with next gen consoles coming out, I'm wondering if Origin PC is going to make a new version of the Big O with the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and a PC in one case.
They've got to. It only makes sense based off of doing this.
Yeah. And it seems like that would, for me, as someone that thinks that that concept is amazing, if they did it with the next gen consoles combined, if the price point is there, if it's not absurdly priced, that makes total sense.
Well, that's the thing.
Is a huge thing.
This thing, this current one base or whatever, you know, comes pre-configured at is $2,500.
Yeah. But if you think about it,
PCs aren't cheap.
So how much is a PlayStation 4 right now? You can probably pick one up for $400.
I think is the Pro 400 still, or maybe 350.
Is still $400. I think the Xbox X.
Oh, and you can build in a capture card too.
Yes,
you can make this kind of an entire if you want to record your own PC gameplay, but you could also record right off of the console there too.
Yeah,
it's kind of more in line with that thing of like a content creator's PC.
Exactly. But if you think about it, the price point, you know, you're going to spend $700-$800 on both of those consoles. Then you're going to, so, you know, you knock that price off of what it is for that PC. It's a lot of money, but also if you think about what you're actually getting, Nintendo Switch dock, I think you actually get, I'm not 100%, but I think you might be able to actually get the Switch through them when you purchase it. I don't know if that's included in the price.
I think it might have actually changed. I think this one that's to customers is one or the other, meaning you can either choose to be a PS4 or an Xbox One S.
I see. Pro, okay. Right.
I think it's one or the other in this. It would be very unique if it was both in the next one, or if it's something where they're going to, you know, offer the choice basically. Still, Very cool either way. Yeah, I can't believe I never heard of this.
Yeah, no, I didn't even hear about it either until I randomly stumbled across a video of it. And I just thought, well, how come nobody's done that before? And the fact that a company like Origin PC is doing it, it's like, well, there you go. You got a company that specifically designs and builds computers constantly making something like this. It's perfect because you know it's going to work right. And I'm just interested in seeing if they're planning on keeping this up with the next gen consoles and how much they're going to try to sell these for the next gen. Because I mean, if you're in the, if you're someone that has no gaming consoles, no computer, no anything, and you really want to kind of jump into the deep end of like, you know, I want to get the new PlayStation 5, but I also want a PC to record stuff. Well, Origin PC is filling that gap that nobody else is, which I think is really cool.
If they can somehow make it too, if they can somehow make the heat, like the dynamics of it, even better. If they can put fans in the case and basically put the internals in there and make them even better operating wise, temperature wise, because these new consoles are going to be, I mean, the Xbox Series X, you know, looks like a refrigerator. It's going to be cranking out some heat. And so is the PlayStation. I think that's the reason the PlayStation is like that kind of like more open air looking design that they went with, is because this thing's going to crank out some heat.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I thought it was a cool point to talk about just because I was sitting around one day and I thought, how come nobody's done this? And then a couple days later, boom, they did it. Like, at least I saw it. They did it a year ago. I didn't even notice until recently, but it's just, it's really cool. It's nice to see companies doing stuff like this. Like, I think going outside of the box and kind of combining things that they know work together is a great idea.
Yeah, 100% agree. All right, so we're going to go on to tinfoil thoughts. So we're going to talk about some conspiracy stuff. I think it's going to be fun. We're looking to make it lighthearted. I don't think we're going to be arguing. We might. We might be arguing about some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I felt like this was the perfect one to bring up because Bugs, right? Like Big O, I had no idea about. Bugs has no idea about the topic that we're going over here. Bugs, I need you to go to birdsaren'treal.com.
Birdsaren'treal.com. Okay.
Linked it here in the doc if that makes it more convenient for you. I think you kind of get the point of it. And I don't honestly know, you know, there's a subreddit for this and everything. I don't know how much of it is these people really believe that birds aren't real. I don't know how much of it's, you know, the joke. And I'm not going to come out here and state that I know it's supposed to be a legitimate thing or a joke. I do not know that. I think it's more along the lines of a joke, but. And we're not even going to go into the deep history of it, really.
This is strange.
It is. So there's a couple different timelines for people, but the one that's even just like, I think on their Instagram is that 2001 was when the government used that opportunity of everything that happened in 2001 to replace all of the birds with identical drone replicas that were designed to spy on the American public. Some say this project, quote unquote, government project, started in 1976 and then only really got implemented because of the drone replica technology only got, like, you know, finalized in 2001.
I would also like to say, if you go to this website and you go to the frequently asked questions, they cover everything here. They cover eggs, what is bird poop. Apparently bird poop is just oil discharge from earlier bird drone models. That's a thing that.
So it's not like they haven't thought it all out.
Thanks. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's your instant, you know, feedback?
I like conspiracies. I find them interesting. Yeah.
I love a good one. Thinking about even sometimes how people get into thinking that, you know, going down this road. If it's sometimes, even if it's just for fun, but sometimes it's people that legitimately believe it.
Yeah, conspiracies I think they're good because I think it gets people to open their minds and explore new possibilities, which is always great, having an open mind. And, you know, I try to listen to everybody's argument when it comes to certain things, when it comes to conspiracies, because it's good to hear both sides to form your opinion on something. Birds not being real, though, I just don't, that can't be, this could not be a thing. Birds are real. I mean,
so I counter that with, what proof do you have that they are? Have you ever held one?
No. I've never held a bird.
Have you ever witnessed a bird giving birth?
No. No, I haven't.
All right.
Am I going to think birds aren't real?
I do not subscribe to this. I don't literally follow it. I am not a spokesperson for birds aren't real and the birds aren't real movement. But it is one of those funny things to think about and be like, oh, you know what? Yeah. I just see them around.
Yeah, but okay.
Do you ever see the same bird twice? Have you seen the same bird twice?
That's hard to tell.
About that.
That's hard to tell.
Exactly.
I see the same type of bird. I don't know if it's
a loaded question. It was intentionally a loaded question. I wanted to see if.
Let's talk about technology. Go back 19 years, especially in the drone world of technology. Now, there is the counter argument. I've heard this before, that anything that you see, the government has technology that is 100 years more advanced.
Yes. Like, I think that's usually is the case too, to a certain extent. Yes.
Right. That's kind of what people say. But I don't know. Drone technology in 2001, at least for the consumer market, was nothing really.
And in comparison, yes.
Have you ever seen a bird with a propeller? I haven't. And another here, actually, that just reminded me of something. Last year, I bought a drone off of Amazon that was supposed to flap like a bird. It had no propeller.
Okay.
Yeah, it was powered by wings that flapped.
Okay.
It did not work. There was no controlling it.
Obviously probably could have gotten better.
Yeah, they could have.
And if that's what a consumer grade product is,
I mean,
then think about what the government
could have. I guess, but the thing that I don't understand is, like, why? Why would they need to go through the extent of spying on American citizens this far to not only create bird drones, but to exterminate all birds? Because birds play a lot in the ecosystem. Like, they eat insects, and, you know, there's a lot that birds do. They're a middleman to a lot of things. And
twist, what if the birds already were going out and they were literally gone? Or near gone, and they use the opportunity to put these agents in. They didn't intentionally kill them off.
If they did that, I feel like they wouldn't need them nowadays, because it's not that difficult to spy on people when everyone has a phone in their pocket with a microphone, the internet, camera, 100%. Location.
That's like, the same thing when anybody brings that up with me and they go, aren't you fearful that they're putting RFID chips in our license plates? And I'm just like,
You have a cell phone?
Do you have a phone? Does it have cameras on it? Does it have multiple cameras on it? Does it have multiple microphones on it?
Exactly.
Everything you do?
Exactly. Do you know when your microphone on your phone is on? No, you don't. So if they wanted to spy on us in today's technology ridden world, it would be very easy to do so. I don't think they would get anything from bird drones, especially because I feel like to actually get any vital information, you would have to have bird drones acting very, very strange. Like flying right outside of your window, or
I can't wait until we get the birds aren't real accounts tweeting at us, taking us down, saying that we're fake news.
I'm open to listen. If they got some arguments, I'm open to listen. I just,
what do you think about us bringing on a Birds Aren't Real representative?
If there's if there's somebody out there that is a Birds Aren't Real representative that feels like they can convince us otherwise, I would be down to hear it. I feel like when you have a page of frequently asked questions that's as long as theirs, you're explaining a little too much. Like, you're trying to cover all your tracks of why this is real. And if it was easily explained as real, I feel like you wouldn't need this much information. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
It's just interesting. I mean, it's an interesting concept. But I think this falls more towards, well, considering also when you first go to their website, the first thing you see is to buy a t-shirt. So,
oh yeah, 100%.
I think there's ulterior motives.
Yeah, we don't have a Clueless Cast promo code for this yet. We'll be working on getting in contact with them.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I want the pigeon that says I am a lie.
Oh, that is 100% the one I saw. That I was like, yes, I need this. Yeah, very much so. I like how we exactly
Very interesting. I'm really surprised I haven't heard of this conspiracy before. It's very interesting. I don't know if I fall into it. I would like to hear it explained from somebody.
Yeah,
that would actually be nice.
I'm in the same way, and I tend to be like you too in terms of I like to flesh out or talk to people or read stuff about people that do think of, you know, these conspiracy theories as being real. Or even I just like, there's some times where people just talk about these conspiracy theories and don't even have necessarily a, you know, horse in the race in terms of it being real or not. And I like that too. Right. I think that's how I usually process conspiracy theories, where I'm like, oh man, I really don't have a horse in this race.
Yeah.
But I like playing like the devil's advocate of it and being like, oh, well
yeah,
Mike, have you ever seen a bird talk? And you're just like, that has what? Have you ever been around where there was a beeping noise and at the same time you saw a bird?
I don't think so.
You could have confused it with a backup beeper on a truck, but maybe it was that bird.
Although the argument about bird poop, I think, is the biggest plot hole in this whole thing. Because I know, well, I've had birds poop on my car before.
Have you tasted it? Did it taste like oil or did it taste like bird poop?
It didn't look like oil.
Yeah, but that's okay. Oil can be creamy. They could have a blown head gasket in the bird.
Yeah, but then that means that there's combustion or there's, you know, some sort of like mechanical component happening, like where it's going to require coolant.
Yeah, it would have to be like acid. It has to be like battery acid or coolant. Yeah, it has to be something like that. Well, who knows?
You know, battery acid, actually, that could be it. That's pretty convincing. Bird poop, you know, you leave it on your car, it's not good for your paint. It's acidic.
Yeah, see? And there
maybe
we go.
It is battery acid.
Got you back into that. You're completely convinced, Colin.
Maybe. Completely convinced. Yeah, that's it. Birds aren't real, everybody.
I think that was good, though. So, if you have a topic question, heck, a conspiracy theory, we'd love to hear it. We'd love for you to send it in. You got completely clueless cast@gmail.com. That's completely clueless cast@gmail.com. You can also send this kind of stuff, you know, conspiracy theories or topics and questions currently to our social media accounts. And you can find those all on cluelesscast.com. And, you know, I think we're going to obviously figure out the best ways to, you know, what transition in between the stuff, what segments work or don't work. I think we're even going to call this episode 00. I think this is us kind of finding our footing, and, you know, we want all of the constructive criticism and feedback on this episode that you can give us.
Absolutely.
We really, really appreciate that. With that being said, Bugs, do you have anything to add?
No. I am good. I hope people write in. I hope they send us some topics to talk about, because we're open to discussing pretty much anything. And I hope you guys give us constructive criticism on what you would like to see and what you would, you know, not like to see. Just let us know. Let us know how we can improve.
110%. Well, guys, thank you for joining us on episode 00 of the Clueless Cast. This has been Zach Hausnecht and...
I'm Bugs. Thanks for listening. Bugs.
Thanks, everybody, and don't leave. We're going to keep it in. I love it.
Don't leave.
Don't leave.
Even though it's over now.